Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Renukampam sukshamikshamano. Punjana yevatma kritam vipakam. Krit bhagvapur bir vidadham namaste. Jivetayo mukti pade sadhayabha. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is certainly eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So instead of reading Sri Dayananda Maharaj's purport to this, I'm going to read from the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada's statement on this verse. I don't remember much about Prabhupada's books, but I always remember this. Page 91 of the Nectar of Devotion. It's as long as it's an English version, it's always on page 91. And Prabhupada quotes this verse. Well, actually, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes this verse about expecting the Lord's mercy. And then Srila Prabhupada's first sentence is so significant. Listen to what he says. He says, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide for all devotees. Now, how many verses does Srila Prabhupada mention that? Right? This is one of the most important verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, and this verse should be the guide for all of us. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences, because material existence means continued suffering or enjoyment of past activities. If one has finished his material activities, then there is no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna consciousness activities, he is not going to take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, this is the point that Maharaj was making last night and Shruti Dharma Prabhu was speaking about in his class, so that's kind of where I'm trying to pick up from. And so here's what Prabhupada says. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his day in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. Should I read that sentence again? If a devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact word used in this verse is dhyabhak. Dhyabhak refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of his father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter the transcendental abode. So this is kind of a cheating class, in the sense that my Guru Maharaj, Sripad Burijan Prabhu, he has written kind of like the beginnings of a book on this topic in his they're like 96 different little sutras, just one sentence points, on this topic of when things get tough in our devotional service, how to take shelter of Krishna, about taking shelter of Krishna, etc. So I'm going to, and because I happen to have a copy of those things, I'm going to use that as a basis for this class. Of course, His Holiness Radhanath Swami spoke so wonderfully on this topic last night, so it's a bit of a stretch for me to continue to talk about the same topic, but because I think there's some details here that devotees may find interesting. So I'm not sure if we'll have enough time to go through all of these. We go till 9 o'clock? So these are the 8 points, and I hope you can see it. The first point is something that Maharaj spoke quite a bit about. Now, rest doesn't mean in this sense taking rest, but rest in sometimes used in English like in the same way that we use the word shelter or solace, right? And in that sense, when tribulations do come about. Srila Prabhupada here in the Nectar of Devotion in page, which page? 91, right? On page 91 was talking about tribulations. And as Maharaj quoted that verse yesterday, dukalayam ashashvatam, right? That there has to be tribulations in our life. It's just as sugar is sweet and salt is salty, life means there has to be tribulations. So it's important that when such tribulations come about, we search for our rest in the correct place. And one of the most important things to remember in this sense is that shelter, that rest, which obviously we mean Krishna and Krishna's devotees, is not necessarily and generally isn't linked to the external circumstances. Right, we're going to talk about circumstances in a minute. Because a general tendency, when some tribulation comes, our general tendency is to first want to adjust the external circumstances. So we're going to talk about that. It's not, but our shelter is not linked to the external circumstances. Whether it's, of course, this wouldn't apply to brahmacharis, but financial security for some of us, or our abilities, our intellect, our strength, maybe our beauty, even maybe ISKCON. These things are okay, but what is the real center of our existence? The real rest, the real shelter? Where is our ultimate shelter to be taken? And that has to be, Maharaj was mentioning yesterday also, because he was saying, he said there's singing, dancing, and feasting, right? And then he said, and then there's singing, dancing, and feasting, right? Chanting, dancing, and feasting. So our shelter has to be deeply in Krishna. So the key is the internal condition of the heart. And then if that's there, then we're not shaken when the external circumstances cause problems, and they have to cause problems. There has to be upheaval. So that's the first point. Then on to circumstances. So when something in our life seems to be out of control, we tend to want to ask Krishna to change those external circumstances. I mean, I know I just went through something recently, and I know that was my very first, okay, you know, I got to turn on my computer and do something about this, right? But rather, it's more likely that we need Krishna's help to change ourselves within our, to change within our heart, rather than his help to change the external circumstances. So we need to pray, and through prayer, learn to relinquish our control on circumstances that are actually beyond our control. I mean, they already are beyond our control, many things, But that giving, that relinquishing, that giving up of that tendency to want to control is very important. So we have to give our circumstances as well as our illusory control over them to Krishna. And the result of that is internal peace, regardless of what the external circumstances are. Because I know in myself, I often think, well like, because I've read through these a number of times, and my tendency is to think, well, yeah, my Guru Maharaj got this right, but he wasn't talking about the circumstances that I'm going through. They don't, you know, they're so heavy. They didn't make it onto these sheets here. But that's actually not the fact. The fact is that that if we learn to really take shelter of Krishna in this way, then whatever the external circumstances are, we can attain a certain kind of internal peace. And therefore, we have to beware of discontentment. And when we're discontent, we tend to throw our blame on the external circumstances. Right? When we're not content in our heart, we tend to throw our blame on the external circumstances. But discontentment is actually an internal state. And it's not related to the external circumstances. So it's better to see discontentment as Krishna calling us closer to him. And that's a real key. If we feel some lack of satisfaction, that should be impetus that we to go closer to Krishna. But our tendency, rather, is to blame all that is out there. And if we do that, we miss the whole point. Is this interesting? Okay. So we have to abandon the idea that our external circumstances have to change. It has to change like this. We have to abandon that idea. External circumstances are dictated by our karma, right? And of course, ultimately, by the Supreme Lord's desire or sanction. So our freedom is in choosing how to react to the difficulties that arise in our lives. And that is where our choice is. So the challenge is to accept the process of Krishna consciousness in difficult times and take shelter of Krishna. That's the third point. Maybe I can do it. If anyone has any questions as we go along, as I go through each one, you can. So any questions up till now? Yes, Radha Gopinath. I know this is a little unusual to do it this way, but I'm an unusual person. So.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking, and I wrote down that I should ask you this, and immediately you were talking about taking shelter or rest, or the shelter of solace, and not try to change the circumstance. Now, also it's a part of our duty to work to make the conditions suitable. So how much endeavor would be too much? Ati prayas, or sort of.
Ask like a real temple president. That comes under number 6. So I'll give you a post-dated check for the practical. Is that all right? Yeah. Any other questions that I won't answer right now?
Hare Krishna, we were mentioning in the first about the rest. Our shelter is the Lord and His devotees. But how to adjust? We have full shelter of Krishna and also devotees. But sometimes for some practical purposes, the devotees, although very sincere, may not be able to help us in full way. Like suppose I am sick, the devotees may help me in my conditions. But if I am sick without beyond some limits, then it's like, depending on Krishna only, not exactly devotees can't do much on a physical level. They will be helping me with emotions and like that. Also, sometimes some devotee who is my friend may not be able to help me financially or something, the devotee is genuinely unable to help me. So how we should adjust our expectations and not get, like how the shelter should be like how to balance between the shelter on Krishna and devotees, because both are...
Oh, between Krishna and devotees?
Yeah.
How to balance that shelter? That's a deep question. Because I know sometimes we go through some tribulations in our life, and a devotee goes, "It's Krishna's mercy, Prabhu." And you feel like saying, "I'll give you a little Krishna's mercy," you know, because it's just something that you're not. Like this verse, for example, as Srila Prabhupada says, it's a guide for all devotees. I'm not sure I'm answering your question right now, but it's something I had in mind. Yet this verse has to be preached in such a sensitive way, such a sensitive way. And often, our helping a devotee through the process of Krishna consciousness is taking them by the hand just to lead them to this understanding, which may take a very long time. This is actually quite an advanced understanding. You know, it's easy to say, yes, Krishna. It's easy to say to somebody, when somebody else is suffering, Krishna's mercy, right? And we all know that that's sometimes just about the worst thing you can do. Especially, let's say somebody was really badly treated, for some, not necessarily in ISKCON, but, you know, just in general, to say, well, it's just, you know, it's your karma, Prabhu, and Krishna is so kind, he's minimized it. We know that that can, if a person isn't ready for that, it's probably one of the worst things we can say, right? So, well, actually, you know, now that I'm thinking about your question, let me continue. And I'll see if, and keep your question in mind and see if it's covered. And if it's not, then we'll talk about it more. Okay? So, shelter of the process, and especially about prayer. So when difficulties arise, there, at least for a neophyte person such as myself, there's a tendency to take shelter in external things. Either, if at best, trying to change the external circumstances, and at worst, taking shelter of sense gratification, etc. And this is actually, if one studies a little bit about addictions in this world, whether it's alcohol or whether it's drugs or whether it's internet pornography or whatever, there's so many different addictions in this world, but they especially become a major part of a person's life when they're in difficulties, because we have to take shelter. So there's a tendency to take shelter of these things if we're in the lower modes of material nature. So our job is, in other words, as Maharaj was saying last night, he was glorifying Hiranyakashipu, if you recall, right? For a very good reason. These difficulties that arise are such an opportunity to make advancement. They're Krishna consciousness handed on a golden platter, right? But to take advantage of that, it's some hard work. So take advantage through taking shelter of the process, hearing, praying. And when we pray, one of the keys is to focus on Krishna and not on the problem, right? Somebody like myself, my dear Krishna, please remove this obstacle. It's causing me so much stress. I don't like stress. I like to enjoy. I don't like to suffer. You know? But the key is not to be like that, but to actually focus on Krishna. And remember the Shastra and what the Shastra says, especially about two things. What the Shastra says about Krishna's power. Someone tell me a verse about Krishna's power. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate. Okay, good. What's another verse that you could think of that reminds you about just how powerful Krishna is? And what does that mean? Anywhere you see power, yeah. Ekam stena stito jagat, right. Anywhere you see power, that's part of Krishna's, yeah. Aham savasya pavavo matasavam pavartate. Krishna is the source of everything. Yes, Prabhu? Okay, and what does that mean? Time I am. Okay, you're thinking in that way. Okay, so Krishna is so powerful, right? He can do literally anything, right? And then the other point is his care for his devotees. So Krishna is all-powerful, and he has so much care for his devotees. I think I mentioned this before, but because I'll mention it again. One time, Srila Prabhupada, Badri Narayan Prabhu told me this story. And one time, Srila Prabhupada had received a picture of Radha Kunja Bihari in Detroit. How many of you have had darshan of Radha Kunja Bihari? Anyone? That was the temple that I joined. Badri Narayan Prabhu brought me to ISKCON. So I like telling stories about Radha Kunja Bihari. But anyway, Kunja Bihari is very tribanga. He's very much like that. So when Srila Prabhupada received the picture of Shri Radha Kunja Bihari, he said, "Yes, this is Krishna." And then he went like this and he said, "He's so inclined to his devotees." It's because Radharani's there, right? So what's the shloka about Krishna's love for his devotees? Some verses. How about anyone? That's the one I was going to say. Samoham sarvabhuteshu namedveshyosti napriya. Yet, he's equal to everyone. He doesn't love or hate anyone. Then it goes, ye vajanti tumambakya mayite teshu chapyam. But still, even though he's like that normally as Paramatma, as Krishna, no, it's not like that. He's so inclined to his devotees. Yoga shemam vahamyaham. Yes, yes. And there's that nice story about Arjunacharya. A Krishna personally preserves what the devotee has and carries what he lacks. So difficulty is arising in our life. We meditate deeply, not superficially, but deeply, that Krishna can do anything. He has all power and he's so inclined to his devotees. So we may say, well, I'm not a devotee. He's even inclined to neophyte devotees. He's inclined to all kinds of people who are trying to take shelter of him. So then after really concentrating on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we can hand our problems, turn to our problem at hand in our prayers and declare our full surrender to Krishna and our dependence upon him. So when difficulties arise, often a big factor is fear. And we may feel initially a little cut off from Krishna's mercy. So it comes up a little later. It's a proactive, willful trust in the caring and unfailing affection of Krishna and Krishna's servants. And during, you know, difficult times, especially when they extend over a period of time, it's a deliberate redirecting our attention from our circumstances to dwell on Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, because that's the only place we find relief. We actually find relief in Krishna's words. I believe it's in the first canto. Srila Prabhupada talks about that when Arjuna was going through, I think it was just after he was defeated by the cowherd, And he was really going through a tough time, you can imagine. But what did he take shelter of? Anyone remember what Prabhupada says in one of the purports? Bhagavad Gita, right. He remembered Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. And he found his solace there. So we can follow in Arjuna's footsteps in that regards. Because unlike Arjuna, we seem to only take shelter and call out for Krishna when our strength is completely proven insufficient. Okay, so that's the shelter of the process. Actually, Arjuna's a good example, isn't it? Right? That we all know how powerful and amazing a Kshatriya Arjuna was. And then Krishna took away his powers. He mentions there that those powers weren't needed to go back to Godhead, right? In one of the purports there. But Arjuna took shelter of Krishna during those. I mean, you could just imagine, right? What he went through. I mean, he was like the greatest Kshatriya the world has ever seen, and then he couldn't defeat the. It was in an amazing situation. Okay, so that's shelter in the process. And then linked to that is faith. That we are asked when we go through difficult situations to be convinced that we are not alone, we're not abandoned, and we're not forgotten. Okay? We're not alone, we're not abandoned, we're not forgotten at any point in time. So this is where that point comes in. That kind of living by one's faith is an intentional, these are the words Parijan Prabhu uses, intentional, aggressive, proactive choice of the will. It's not a, you know, you just kind of, at least I know in my case, to redirect the mind away from the external circumstances and to focus it on Krishna. Oh, it's a tug of war. It's a real tug of war. Because fear, and I experienced this recently, fear tends to be strong and faith tends to be weak when some kind of difficulty arises. So the challenge is to be really strong in faith, and we'll need to confront the increase of fear by an accompanied increase in faith, dependency, as we head towards a situation where we really don't know what the results are going to be. Right? So we can expect fear to increase, and we have to learn to separate our faith from our feelings. Okay? Separate our faith from our feelings. The emotions come out. There's certain feelings, especially fear and anxiety, and to separate that from our faith in Krishna. Because fear of unknown things is actually very natural. It's quite a normal situation. But acting on faith despite those fears is courageous. So this is one of my favorite lines in this, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Because Krishna is working, is carried out. Krishna, what he's doing to us is going on beyond the view of, even if you have Harivamsa Prabhu's glasses, which I have, even though they're given by devotees, still we don't have that kind of vision to see how Krishna is working on our heart. And I think we have that experience, don't we? So many times in our life, as devotees, something happens to us, and as we're going through it, oh, it's really a difficult. But then we look back at it, we even laugh at it, right? Usually 2 months later, a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, and we see, oh boy, that was Krishna's mercy, right? Or what a lesson I learned from that. Or am I glad I went through that, even though at that time, oh, it was. I wished I was somewhere else. Isn't it? Yeah. And I think if we think about it, it's a nice exercise to do, actually, to think back a little bit in our lives and to see how Krishna has directed us and put us through situations for our own good. Okay. So the next point is timing. Right? Number 5. Let's see how we're talking about timing. Okay. Ever notice that Krishna's watch may be different than ours? Right? What we think is like, oh, Krishna, I've been going through this for a week. You know. Right? And actually, that reminds me of that that joke. Let me see if I can get it right, because it is about Krishna. That the devotee prays to the Lord that, my Lord, what is eternity to you? You know this one, Govinda? tell me if I get it right. And the Lord says, eternity for me is just a minute, right? And then the devotee says, my Lord, what is $1 billion to you, right? He said, $1 billion to me is just a few rupees, right? So then the devotee prays to the Lord, could you spare a few rupees? And the Lord says, just a minute. So Krishna's watch works on a different schedule than ours. But timing, you know, time is an important factor in difficult situations. So we have to learn to accept Krishna's timing and wait for him, because time really is a factor in anxiety. But we have to have that faith that even when the solution remains unseen, Krishna has his timetable. Now, how to wait in difficult, out of control, stretched out times is a product of our choice. If we are faithful, trusting, and really taking shelter, or accepting the shelter, rather, of the Lord, and surrendering to him, we will give him a free hand to act with us as he desires, and work things out as he desires. And sometimes we're not so able to discern either Krishna's presence or Krishna's desires. And we're just forced to wait. I don't know if you ever have done this, but I know myself. I sometimes go before the Lord and say, Krishna, just tell me what to do. I'll do it. You know, I have these different choices, and if you would just tell me what to do, I promise I'll do it. I'll do it. Right? You know, and no reply. And that's there for a reason. Because Krishna may, you know, he makes us wait for very, very good reasons. And sometimes, you know, we have certain reactions, right? Like we may say, I didn't ask for this, right? Or nothing I do matters. Or why should I be obedient when compromise is so much more practical? And these kind of thoughts may enter our mind. And the longer we wait, the easier it becomes to rationalize. Right? You all know that word, rationalize? I would write it out, but you can split it into two words, rational, RATIONAL, right? And then the next word is lies, LIES. And that's what often we do. We can rationalize things away instead of waiting still further for Krishna to execute his will as he desires in his own time. Another response that sometimes comes is, that's it. I can't wait any longer. But actually, our hope, you know, this is the, I was waiting for this last thing. It didn't happen. This is the last straw. Bas. I can't go on, right? But actually, our faith is not meant to be in that last straw. It's meant to be in Krishna. And the last stage of, and even, you know, we try to adjust this circumstance, that circumstance, whatever we do, it doesn't change what we're really requested to do, to take shelter of Krishna. Another response is, how long can this go on, Krishna? Ever have that one? How long can this go on? So that's my point, that, you know, time looks very different from Krishna's perspective. So we have to trust that Krishna has his watch. He knows what we're going through. He's all powerful, and he loves us. Okay, so that's timing. Now, before we go on to practical, any questions up till now? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you are mentioning about shelter, the process. So I just wanted to know your opinion on this. Like, when we are new, we just do what is told to us. Now, after some years, we have different choices for services.
Choices.
Now, essentially, these are two choices. At least for me, I can see myself. First choice is you do services that is very pleasing to, say, the devotees you love or guru. And you might not have a natural inclination to do those services. But if you do that, you get a chance to take shelter of Krishna, depend on Krishna, and get purified, and also closer association of devotees you love. Hmm. The second choice is services where we have natural taste and inclination, and we can do that well for Prabhupada's pleasure and for the mission. But we might not get such close association of devotees we love and, you know, we want to serve. So at such times, it's difficult to decide between the two. So what decision should we take? What should be the criteria to decide these two?
I think we should take shelter of Krishna. That's my answer. I mean, that's such a big question. There's so many different ways to examine it. You know, I mean, one way is that generally, you know, the whole kind of psychophysical nature answer, right, where we like to do what we're good at. We're good at it because it's our varnashram tendency. And therefore doing that, as Maharaj quoted that verse, I can't remember, I think it was yesterday in the Brahmachari ceremony, right? That varnashram is meant to please Krishna. So generally what we're good at, it's a nice offering to the Lord. That's a general statement. I remember when I was in joining Krishna consciousness, I used to think that I should always do what I don't like to do, right? So I always, you know, like, I was, you know, in those days I was a brahmachari kind of guy. And so, you know, if there was all this really nice prasadam, I would go to the refrigerator and find the three-day-old sabji and take that, and that's what I, you know, because I thought, you know, that was more, anyway, that wasn't, you know, I wasn't trained very well, actually. So that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is, sometimes the question is, how do you know you're getting Krishna's mercy? By when he gives you wonderful association. So, because your other choice, you said, was about association, right? So there's so many different factors, and these are kind of details. And here, I think we're talking a little bit more about principles. And even that other point that you made is such an important point about how I've spoken with my Guru Maharaj a lot about this. He often talks about the first half of our life and the second half of our life, right? And how the first half of our life is really meant for very strict obedience. I mean, always obedient, but, you know, very strict obedience, very much kind of under control let's say if we're brahmacharis, under the brahmachari ashram and all that. And then the second stage of our life, once we've kind of proven to Krishna that we'll always use that, whatever independence we're given, in a very positive way, then there's more, you know, more room for kind of creativity and because we've kind of passed those previous tests. And therefore it's very, he always thinks it's very important that we as leaders remember these kind of different stages. Sometimes we have a tendency to give too much freedom for young devotees and then they don't get the proper training. Like that. So anyway, but I don't think I'll get into too many more details about that question, except that Krishna does have a plan for us. And it's actually, when we think like that, then life becomes very exciting. Even that kind of dilemma you're talking about, it's an exciting dilemma. Wow, what does Krishna want? What is Krishna going to want me to do with this? You know, there's a fork in the road here. And it's not like Yogi Berra, right, who said, if you see a fork in the road, pick it up. But it's exciting to see, you know, how, if we really think like this, that Krishna has plans for us and what happens to us is not by chance, then life becomes exciting. Otherwise, if it's just kind of, you know, if we forget Krishna, it becomes, you know, kind of Niyamagraha, right? Shnik, shnik, giddy, giddy, ray, ray, you know, like that. Is that all right? Yeah. Okay. Yes, Govinda, you want to answer that properly? Yeah. Okay. One last question. Otherwise, if we don't get to the practical, everyone's going to say, oh, Raja Bihari was in the clouds.
He's forcing you to speak tomorrow also.
He can speak tomorrow also. Continue. Kind of extension of this question that sometime as you said that as we grow then we get that independence to do what we want to do.
I didn't exactly. He said that.
Yeah. So when we see sometime we are doing what we like to do, but at the same time we force others, you know, this is good for you to surrender. And we force devotees what they don't want to do, but rather ask them to do what we want them to do while we are doing what we want to do.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, you know, what inspiration he will have to do it, because he's seeing that I'm doing what I like to do and I'm forcing him to do what he doesn't want to do. So
that's because you're very merciful. No, but it's... Again, I don't want to talk about too many details because, you know, how things are done in Chaupati may be different than, you know, don't want to go into that sacred ground. But we're not, of course, we're all equal, Jivera Surupahoy, you know. But we, you know, we have our different callings and our different levels of advancement and our different even number of years in the society doing service, right? So what is expected of you may be different than what's expected of... I saw some beads there, so I figured there's going to be an initiation soon of a new initiate. And it's not that you and that other person are on the, are equal in terms of, you know, on a certain level. Right? So we if we do... I don't know if independence is probably the wrong word, because maybe choice is a better word or something like that, or able to use our creativity in Krishna service may be better. But we earn that. We earn that, but, you know, through these, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada said, through the fire of tribulation, we earn that right, well, not right, that gift that Krishna gives us to do that, you know, and we should remember that if we're a young devotee, you know, it's not that we're, you know, so at a certain stage, yes, you know, someone says jump and you say how high. Right, and in one sense, we all do that. To Radha, you know, if Radha Gopinath says jump, we all say how high. Not only Radha Gopinath Prabhu, but also the original. Is that okay, like that? But of course, we have to examine our own hearts and make sure that we're not doing this out of ego and all those things that we hear about a lot. You know, that we're actually doing it out of affection. That's the point. You know, sometimes we will pat a devotee on the head and say, you're doing such nice service. And sometimes it's our duty to chastise them and say, but the point is that in either case, our motivation has to be just that we're helping that Prabhu. Because both ego can come in either way. Because sometimes my ego often comes in and wanting and patting people on because I just like being nice to them so they think I'm a nice person. You know, and that's an anarta. And then other people just like going around, you know, shooting their guns. And they have a different ego situation. But it's the same coin, different side. Is that all right? So, well, should I just do one more? Is that okay? But it's only 2 more minutes till 9. It may take 5 minutes. Is that, that's all right? Okay. So practical. So what do we practically do in difficult times? We already said, first we commit our will to the Lord, and we really desire to surrender to his mercy. And we, as we said, that's a real conscious choice. So then if we don't get a clear response, then we think, okay, what is surrender right now? Right, you know, right, this little that I know about Krishna's desire, or I'm in this confused state, what does surrender mean right now as I'm going through this difficult stage? And we slowly move towards action, or not only slowly, sometimes quickly, because action is often required, right? So how to perform action practical action, yet remain fully dependent? When is it time to act? When it's time to act, we do a few things. Let me see if I hear. First, we review those 2 points, Krishna's power and what was the other thing? And his inclination to his devotees, his care for his devotees. And it's because there's always that question, isn't it? When do you prayerfully wait and when do you take decisive action? Right? I find that that's a question. How do we discern Krishna's desire when things are very perplexing and uncertain? So Bhurijan Prabhu suggests 5 filters that we kind of put our consciousness through as we're thinking about practical... he says, first, examine our motive, which is what we were just talking about, right? What's behind our desire to act? What's motivating me to act instead of waiting? And in this case, he suggests we be brutally honest. Brutally honest. checking our desires, our motives, are they admirable, pure, and therefore worthy of action, or are they self-serving, full of avoidance, tainted by fear, impatience, envy, pride, or desire to have everything under our control? What's compelling me to act? What's pushing me to change the circumstances from the way they currently are? Is Krishna's purpose behind the desire to act? Am I willing to be Krishna's with no strings attached? Okay, so that's the first point, motive. Then 2, contentment. Is our attempt to draw strength and stability from Krishna, or is it an attempt to seek contentment in material, external circumstances or relationships? Will I accept as Krishna's mercy whatever happens as a result of this action? Or is my well-being wrapped up in the outcome of the circumstances? Will I be willing to do whatever Krishna thinks is correct, regardless of the outcome? Or if the result is a disaster, will I blame Krishna? Will I blame Srila Prabhupada? Will I blame ISKCON? Will I blame so-and-so Prabhu? If it doesn't work out, will I be satisfied still with the results? Having done what I thought was best according to my understanding, my inspiration, and my capacity. I'll just read this. If my motives are in the correct place, will I be content to act without any guarantee of the outcome? Okay? So that's the second filter. Then the third one is prayer. Talking and thinking of prayer and acknowledging the need from prayer is different than praying. You got that? I like that sentence. Talking and thinking of prayer, acknowledging the need for prayer is different than actually praying. Praying, he says, takes time. And without prayer, we do not receive. In prayer, we share with Krishna our needs. And prayer, he says, is entering into Krishna's presence and engaging him with our concerns. In our prayer, we must set aside other things, physical, mental, and just be with Krishna and present to Krishna our need for his mercy. So when we're trying to decide, have we prayed sufficiently, we should think, have I prayed substantially about the circumstances and the decision faced? In other words, because remember, first we just concentrate on Krishna. But then towards the end of our prayers, we can say, you know, this is my situation. Please, some direction. Then the fourth consideration is time. Have I already given Krishna time enough to answer and work his plan? So if those 4 points, we feel satisfied that we've done that, then time for action may very well be. I'm just trying to find the 5th one. Okay. So then in taking action, the final question, can I remain surrendered to Krishna and dependent upon him as I act? Am I ready to allow Krishna his time and ways for things to reach their conclusions? So we do act practically, naturally, and even sometimes in managerial times, sometimes it has to be, you know, you can go through these five things very quickly because sometimes we know things have to be. But the point is that these difficulties and this process, these difficulties are there to bring us closer to Krishna, and these recommended processes hopefully will help us in that regards. Take one or two questions? Okay. Any? Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. It is generally said that in the NOD itself...
NOD?
Yeah. In the Kleshagni part of Bhakti, it is said that even if we chant one Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then all the sins are eradicated. But again, you read that we should not expect Krishna to... remove all the sins, means we should not expect that immediately all the reactions to the sins are eradicated. So it's a little confusing.
Well, we have to read the entire Nectar Devotion. Right? Because there's also the point about the four stages in which they're eradicated. Are you familiar with that? The Aparabdha, Kuta, Bija, and Parabdha. And they're, what is the word, Krame? Step by step, they're not... So they don't just all go away immediately, but beyond that, Srila Prabhupada here is speaking about the heart of a devotee, right? The bhav, the mood of a devotee in on page, which page? 91. You should always remember that. When the going gets tough, turn to page 91 of the Nectar of Devotion. That's been my mantra since many years. So, you know, he talks about the mood. This is the mood of a devotee. That, you know, and we read about so many of the great devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc., who have this, you know, Prabhupada mentions here, the devotee doesn't expect, he's, you know, I'm so full, how can I just, like that, okay? Anything else? Yes, Prabhu? Because remember, this verse is quoted in the section expecting the Lord's mercy, right? So it's really a talk about the heart of a devotee. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You were saying Krishna creates circumstances which are negative or positive, which strives you. Well, it creates that equilibrium for the rotation for you. To try to solve your problems, and ultimately when you cannot solve and you fail, you basically take his shelter, and then ultimately he gives you rest or something like that?
No, I didn't quite say like that. Difficulties happen, whether you're a devotee or not a devotee, right? Difficulties happen. That's the first point. Even Jesus Christ... Right, had difficulties. Thakur Hari, you know, those difficulties happen. So another way to look at it, and maybe I didn't exactly say this, but say answering Prabhuji's question here, that not all of our karmic reactions have gone away, right? But another way that devotees look at it is that Krishna uses our karma to provide us with opportunities to learn lessons in life. So these difficulties that we go through are a great, what I was trying to say, are a great impetus to become closer to Krishna and to increase our bhakti.
To take shelter of Krishna.
Yeah, they encourage us to take shelter.
And then
Krishna
gives you, brings you to rest?
Well, Krishna reciprocates with our devotion. Yayatamam prapadyante, he says in Bhagavad Gita, that he reciprocates with it. But these circumstances, if we're pious and if we're Krishna conscious, they draw us closer to him. So we take one step towards him, he takes so many steps towards us, and it becomes more of an intimate relationship through these difficulties. If everything just went well, it'd be a pretty boring life, actually.
Right.
You know, and then we would just think, oh, you know, sub-teek, right? You know, everything's fine. It would, of course, I don't want to say that too loud because Krishna may take it seriously and start really, you know. Yeah. It's easy to sit here and talk about that. It's difficult to actually, you know, do that. Okay? All right. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.